All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, June 26th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had golf get underway earlier this morning. Good luck to all of you playing some golf this weekend. We had 13 tennis matches get underway. We had a 8-game kind of early main MLB slate. We do have a 5-game the 5-game afternoon slate get underway as well. There's 2 games of WNBA and some COD action. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of 3 ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. With so much MLB action getting underway early today, there is a single MLB showdown later this evening. Maybe we'll talk some showdown strategy. And then we do also have the 2-game WNBA slate. So I think those are the couple slates that we'll focus on today. Why don't I get SaberSim pulled up on the screen here? And then we did have one question come in prior to the show. So we will start there. And then see where the show takes us. So first question today, if I have a satellite contest in my entries that pays multiple spots, a seat, and I want the same lineup in all of my entries in that to try to scoop, is there a simple way to accomplish that in the app entry filler? For example, there is a 7 max $1 best ball satellite that pays top 10, would sometimes like to run same lineup to scoop 7 tickets. Gotcha. So effectively what they're trying to do, they're basically like trying to run a train here. And or at least that's like what it's like referred to in the DFS industry. It's like you play the same lineup multiple times. You know, people enter one lineup 150 times. They call it 150 train, right? So what you would do is you would want to use rank fill. Okay. So what I would do here is, you know, I'm just going to do 500 lineups for the sake of the example. I go and kick off my build. So we'll let this run. Almost done. We could probably just stop it here. This is fine. Build's taking a little long. All right. So 2-game WNBA. Run the build. So when we get into the post build, right? Effectively, what you want to do is, well, you can do this a couple different ways, right? So like, let's say that, you know, okay, you know, I have 7 entries. I want to enter 1 lineup. You know, I'm going to sift through the pool, right? I'm going to find the lineup I like. What I would do here is, you know, find whatever lineup I wanted. Maybe it's like this 5th one, right? I could star it. I could lock it, right? I'm just going to lock it here. Starring it will send it to the favorites tab, which is like another option. I lock the lineup. I change the number of lineups to 1, and then I save it, right? When I save it, I'm going to get like a pop-up saying like, hey, you know, do you want to use the same lineup multiple times? You just say yes. The other option would be like, let's just say I just like want, no, yeah, you would have to change lineups to 1. So like, this is like the big thing. Okay. So either lock it. If I favorite it, the favorites is only going to have 1 lineup, and then that'll end up working the same way like this. So just set lineups to 1, you save it, it will put the same lineup into all of your entries. So that's like the simplest way to do that. But the big thing is just like figuring out which lineup you want to get to. Yeah, John's here. Cool. Awesome. Glad that helped. All right. So since we already built 500 lineups for WNBA, I think we will do a WNBA starter demo, and then we will do a MLB showdown Ultimate demo. So let's get into this. We didn't do too much up front, right? No rules, no filters, not really any like default rules or recommended rules, you know, with WNBA in particular. So I wouldn't say you like need to do anything up front. All we did was two minor projection adjustments, which are required. Come into our table, sort by exposure. I'm going to crank this up to 20. We did cut this build off at 306 lineups. Still should be fine for like the sake of our example here. So we get into the post build. We're not going to use a contest sim. This two gamer would be considered a small slate, right? So big thing is going to the contest tab, figuring out, you know, how many entries the contest you're primarily optimizing for has, and then selecting the correct Saber score. Maybe it's a small contest, right? Maybe it has 600 entries. Okay, then I use the small slate, 100 to 1K Saber score. I got my average projection aggregate metric. Remember that the rank of the lineups matters with Saber score, right? Since we don't have the ROI greater than zero filter. So we do want to try and stay a little bit higher in our pool. With 300 lineups, we're trying to stay somewhere between like 100 to 150 lineups is like a little bit closer to where we want to be. So with this, I'm still going to go through a lot of the same steps. We're taking a couple big stands here, right? These players do have a lot of ownership. So like Sydney Colson, 100%, Wilson, 95%, Howard, 90%, Boston, 75%, right? These are our three big leverages, but these players all have really high ownership, right? So like that's in general a good thing. If I sort by value, they're also like some of the highest value plays as well. Technically like four out of the top five. One of the four out of the top five we're not using at all. Kind of interesting to be like negative 24% leverage. You know, this stand, right, in terms of leverage is as strong as our positive leverage plays, right? So it works in like terms of like absolute value where, you know, the strength of it goes in like the positive direction and the negative direction. The, you know, how big that stands and ends up being, right? When we sort by exposure, you know, we don't really even see it, right? That's why, you know, coming in here, sorting leverage highest to lowest, and then leverage lowest to highest in the negative direction here matters, right? We can see which players we're taking big stands on. Something that's like kind of interesting to me is like, okay, yeah, you know, we don't we have less of these players in the pool than we do their ownership, but it still feels like a really big stand to me, right? So like in terms of flattening out my exposures, I might actually want to flatten out my I'll say that again. I don't want to be, you know, so under leveraged to a top five value on the slate, right? When we sort by value, technically third highest value on the slate. Are they high risk? Yeah, probably. You know, they're only projected for 12 minutes, 12 points, their 3K salary. So like this person is this, you know, player here, right, is probably a high risk play. So I think that's like has something to do with why we're getting to so little of them. If I just sort by minutes, you know, they are here kind of down near the bottom, but I think we're getting enough of them in the pool to warrant a little more exposure and just not be so underweight, right? What if we have half, right? What if we have 12%? What if we have, you know, 8%? What if we're like, you know, one third the field, right? A lot of that feels better than where we're at now. So I think there's opportunity to flatten out the top end and flatten out the bottom end in this case, which we don't always talk so much about. So I'm going to move uniques from like one to two. Okay, we lose a couple points in projection here. Nothing too crazy. I might just sort by value here just to see what happens. So this is already good, right? Going from one to two uniques, we lose a little bit in projection. We're down to lineup 75, which, you know, we're already kind of approaching the 100 to 150 range that we talked about. But look at, right, we don't have those 100%. We have 85%. We have 75%. We have 195%, but that's also the highest owned player on the slate at almost 60% ownership. So like, is it that big of a stand? You know, not really. And then Turner, right? We went from 0% to 10%. So now the negative leverage is a lot less, right? This one simple change can smooth out you know, your exposures so well, right? And we could try to go a little more. I'm kind of happy with two. You know, we're getting good leverage on some of the best plays. We're flattening out some of the negative. And then when I go to three here, right, we see a big jump in projection. So we started with 199. At two uniques, we went to 196. At three uniques, we went down to 185. This feels like way too much for me. I would go back to two. And if there's anything at this point you still don't like, what I would try to do is use manual exposures, right? Okay, I've used the uniques. They've gotten me 90% of the way there. I'm going to do some fine-tune adjustments and see if I can get the rest of the 10% myself, right? And maybe I drop Wilson to 85%, right? What does that do? And look, Wilson came down to 85% exposure, and my projection effectively stayed the same. So sometimes being direct with your adjustments when you only want to make one, I would say like three adjustments, can be a little bit better at preserving the quality of your lineups, because you're not trying to indirectly change them. You're not trying to, you don't really care about changing other players. You just want to change them. Well, when you just want to change one player, just do it for that player specifically using max or min exposure. And then I think it will work a little bit better. But all right, we are at lineup 90 here. That's perfect, right? We're 30% of the way through our 300 lineup pool. And, you know, we're prioritizing the rank. We flatten out our leverages and manage our exposures, done our QA, done our risk management. And I think that we're all set here, right? So I would be ready to save these lineups and upload them to my contest. All right, next question here. This works out perfect. Hello, I have a question for MLB Showdown today. Should I just take bats and not worry about pitching? So we're actually going to do an MLB Showdown build demo that was on the list for today with a lot of the classic slates already underway. So this works out perfect, right? So let's just like talk MLB Showdown strategy, and hopefully seeing what I would do here can give you some ideas. So we got one showdown, Mets and the Braves, later this evening. Looks like lineups are out already, right? So in case you guys didn't know, check marks indicate starting lineups are out. So if I were you guys, I would be willing to build now and just leave my lineups as is, unless any late scratches come in or things like that. But projections are effectively good to go. We're about 3 hours out from lock, so that's nice. One thing to note, there is only one set of ownership projections for MLB Showdown. There are not buckets like the classic. So just be aware of that. Just use what is shown here, and that is okay. All right, we go over to our build. A couple other resources I think that are in here. If we go to Saber School, how to beat DFS, go to MLB. Interesting. I thought we had a showdown video in here, but I guess not. Last year. Yeah, no showdown content. Okay. There might be some on the YouTube channel, but I wanted to check. All right, getting back to our build. So one thing here, right, is this number of lineups, right? This is like our ultimate demo. It sets to 2,000 by default. That is mostly just due to like time savings. It could sometimes take the builder a little bit longer to build out a full pool of 5K. Me personally, I always bump it up to the maximum unless I'm in a time crunch, especially this far out from lock with confirmed lineups. I think it's totally fine to crank this all the way up to as high as it goes. Another thing I might do, I might lower min salary, let the builder build some lineups if they come up in the Sims as good if they have a lower salary. I think that's okay, right? So that's the only thing I'm doing. I'm definitely not setting any rules, definitely not setting any filters. Going to make the two required adjustments to projections. And then I'm going to let the builder do its thing, right? What it's going to do is it's going to take one game sim and play it out and then build the best lineup under the salary cap. And then it's going to do that until it fills out my entire pool. So I want to lean into the Sims here, try and give it as much wiggle room as we can. Only thing I might do here is check the weather, right? Okay, broken line of storms should be weakening to showers as it enters New York. Maybe they need a delay. More likely, they play through a shower. So not like huge weather concerns. You know, you always want to be aware of like delay risk with pitchers and things like that. So seems like we're okay on that front, which is great. So see, this is like where I mean like the build can start to like kind of crawl kind of after like the 2,500 area, which is like why that's the cutoff. So if you have the time, let it run. I'm going to stop it here just for the show. But that's why you see that. That's a good example of it. All right. So get into the post build. Sim should, okay, toggle's not on, but I'll turn the toggle on. When the toggle is on in here, the run contest sim automatically after build, the contest sim will just kick off. You don't have to click any buttons or anything like that. So that's always nice. Just speed things up. All right. So sim just ran, switches to ROI automatically. I'm going to set up a projection aggregate metric and an ROI aggregate metric. So one thing with MLB Showdown is I'm not very concerned about duplication. And the reason for that is I've studied this in Flashback, right? You can always go back to past Showdown contests. One is usually like there are more players in the field, but especially when you start to take into account relief pitchers. And then two, these contests are not very big, right? These contests have a couple hundred entries, maybe sub 5,000 max. But in my experience, I've seen dupes around one, around two, around three, like kind of max. You don't see them get into like double digits very often. And that usually, you know, duplication at that low of a level is like generally hard to predict anyways. So if you're already under, you know, five dupes on average, I really wouldn't do anything to try and But I was just saying, I'm not accounting for duplication a whole bunch in MLB Showdown. But contest flashback can give you more insight into that. All right. So I'm in this build, sorting by ROI, projection ROI aggregate metrics, sorting by exposure. Looking at my captains first. So it looks like we're favoring the Mets here. You know, spread is like kind of close, taking the underdog here, right? So Saber Sim is like, hey, you know, we want to play more of the underdog here. And then we go over to utility and like, yeah, we're like slamming the Mets, right? If we look here, we have 100% 5-1 stacks. And we have 100% Mets stacks. So this is like pretty aggressive, okay? If you know, you look at this, you're like, whoa, you know, that is a lot of Mets. You know, what SaberSim doesn't do great, right, is like that risk management aspect. It's like, hey, I'm identifying playing Mets in the Sims is the highest ROI thing, and it just jams them in, right? Just jams them in. So you can go about this a couple different ways. One is you could just increase, you know, some of these Mets stacks or lower the Mets stacks or, like, increase Atlanta stacks, right? Like, that's an option. You could change the stack types you're using, right? Well, you know, if I'm not only playing 5-1s, well, then now I have to play, you know, some Braves, right? So, like, what if I change 5-1s from 100% to 50%, right? Okay, well, all of a sudden, you know, my Atlanta stacks start to come up. So there's a couple different ways to combat that. It is Atlanta 2 stacks, and, like, maybe you're okay with that, right? So I think that the bigger thing is, you know, you still want to be aware of the stands that you're taking. So, like, yeah, we're taking, like, a really big stand on, like, Alonzo, smaller stand on Canning. You know, maybe I want to walk some of these down, right? Maybe I'm like, hey, I don't really want to be, you know, 27% leverage on Alonzo. Maybe I want to be have leverage but less, right? Okay, well, I'm just making one particular change. Now, all of my leverages from the positive side on the Mets are under 18%. And then now I actually even got a Grant Holmes captain lineup, right? So I'm not taking such a massive stand against him. I'm actually kind of working him in now, right? We're working in an Olsen captain. Now some of these Braves hitters are starting to creep up here. Interesting, we're getting some Braves relief pitchers, right? It's like, what is this story that's being told? Well, story that's being told is Grant Holmes gets hit early. Mets batters do good to get him out of the game. And then maybe some of these relief pitchers like Bummer come into the game and, you know, pitch good on the back end, right? Another thing you can probably do is check like recent bullpen usage, right? So I would do this. RotoWire has like a bullpen usage page, and like go and look at Atlanta and you know, kind of get a sense for like, hey, maybe who's most likely to play and stuff like that. So see, this is actually really interesting. I would probably X Bummer. I don't want to play Bummer because he just threw 35 pitches yesterday. I would much rather leave available some of these other pitchers. So this gets into like, you know, kind of like where you can find edge, right? Okay, what I would do is I would go to the Braves. I would go to projection. I would filter for pitchers. And then I would just see how we're projecting all these guys. So like we're projecting Bummer for 2.35 points. Well, I don't think Bummer's going to pitch anymore, right? I think he threw 35 pitches yesterday. I think he's probably unavailable today, right? SaberSim is not taking into account how many pitches they threw like yesterday, right? So it's just like looking at like, hey, you know, this is like the depth chart. You know, these guys are most likely to pitch, things like that. So I want to effectively take Bummer's 2.35 points and redistribute it to his teammates, right? Okay. So who do I think is likely to pitch? Well, Iglesias could pitch, right? He had a day off. He's pitched a couple days in a row. Prior to that, maybe Dodd can pitch. Lee can pitch. Like I think probably everybody else is available. Right. So, okay. So who's coming up? So, okay. So this is another thing I would do, right? Sometimes for whatever reason, the relief pitchers have like a starter salary. I would X those guys, right? If this guy is a relief pitcher at 10K, like, sorry, buddy, like, I don't care if you're going to come in and throw three innings. Like this is way too much. You basically need to be a starter, like at that salary. But Iglesias is, you know, available. Montero, like all these guys that are like 4K range. Okay, you know, I kind of want to focus on these guys. Do I think Iglesias is going to pitch? Yes. Do I think Montero is available? Yeah, Montero's probably available. 7 pitches 2 days ago, threw 24 pitches on Saturday. It's been a while. So he's probably available. Lee and Johnson. And I think Lee and Johnson are available too. So now I have this 2.35 points to work with. You could go about this a couple different ways. What I would probably do is like, okay, I'm going to go like zero to Bummer and then maybe half a point to Iglesias. Maybe just start with like half a point to each, right? Okay, 2.08, 1.44, and then 0.99. So that's 2 points, right? I've given away 2 points. And then I would, you know, give away the other like 35, right? So then, you know, maybe I want to give it to like the lowest guy. That way that he's like a little bit closer to his teammates. So then I would give him 1.34. Cool. So like now Johnson and Lee are kind of close. And then Montero and Iglesias are kind of close. And this is like kind of the hierarchy that SaberSim had. But I've boosted them all. And, you know, now I'm telling SaberSim, hey, I think these guys are most likely to play. So effectively what I would do is I would apply this and then I would rerun the lineups, right? This is probably something that like should have been done earlier in the process before running lineups. I would also go and do the same thing for the Mets. Just like, hey, are there any obvious spots where, you know, something like this looks off? And then I could just adjust and then it would, you know, adjust my projections accordingly and, put players in lineups as they come up. But here, right, I'm not going to redo it all. I'm just going to zero out Bummer. And then I'm going to resort by exposure. So now we're getting one Iglesias, one Montero. It still fits the same script of Holmes getting hit, relief pitchers coming in to relieve him and hopefully pitching good and throwing a couple extra innings. I'm going to unfilter by the Braves. But overall, I like my captain leverages for sure. Taking a big stand on Soto, on White. You know, I could try and use some uniques here, right? If I want to go from like 1 to 2 and see what that does. So like ROI didn't go down very much. So that's good. Projection kind of stayed the same here as well. We lost White pretty significantly. So that tells you like he's like a little bit kind of like expendable almost. Like when the builder is put in a tough situation, like, hey, you know, you can't just play anybody you want. Now you need to guarantee some diversification between the lineups. You're actually making it like think a little bit more and make some hard decisions. And then when you do that, it basically is telling you who it really likes and who it doesn't really like. So it's like, ah, okay, you know, if I got to do this, well, I really want to hold on to Juan Soto, but you know, I'm more willing to part ways with Eli White, even though they had similar exposure previously, right? So that could be a good thing to get like some like real opinions about like what SaberSim thinks are like the best decisions to make on the slate. So here, right, we've done some diversification. You can go more if you want. I'm kind of okay with this. You know, this is kind of fitting the game script that like we've kind of built here, working in a couple Braves hitters, mostly staying away from like their really good guys, right? That makes sense. We're playing their 5-hitter, their 7-hitter, their 9-hitter. We are staying away from, you know, the big boys in like 1 through 4, right? Because we're creating this script of like Mets onslaught, Canning does good, Canning gets the win. You know, we kind of want that, right? If you want to hedge that a little bit more, then I think that's like an opportunity to crank up the uniques even more. Doesn't do too much here to our ROI, so that's good. But like, look, now we're getting, you know, some Ozuna. Now we're getting some Nick Allen. We're getting some Olsen. We're getting some Acuna, right? So if you want to be a little bit flatter, crank up that diversification. It really didn't do that much to our projection and ROI, so like that's good. And then when we go back to Captain, now we're even getting like some Ozuna here. We already had an Olsen. We already had a Holmes. But this is, there are, you know, obviously levels to how much risk you can assume here. And you got to figure out which one works best for you, right? Maybe you liked 3. Maybe you liked 2. Maybe you liked 1. You know, who knows? But fire building lineups for MLB Showdown, this is how I would be going about it. So at this point, I'm ready to save these lineups, upload them to my contest. All right, taking a peek in Discord, taking a peek in YouTube chat. Looks like we're all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Knocked out a WNBA starter demo, knocked out an ultimate MLB showdown demo, something we don't always talk about. So it was fun. So appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.